It's RSN 927's Breakfast Club.
Also, judging the pace, very important. Says pretty good line on it.
Everyone loves a roar when Tiger drops a putt, and that's what they've been doing across the weekend at TPC Sawgrass for the Players' Championship. Lots happening in the final day's play, and who better to take us through exactly what is unfolding and might unfold than one man who knows all about what happens on the PGA Tour from PGAtour.com, Ben Everill. Good morning, Ben.
Yeah, good morning, guys. We've just hit the turn for the final group, and a million blokes can seemingly still win this as the wind starts to whip up and things get really exciting. Sadly, the Aussie boys have a bit of work to do that.
Yeah, we're just talking about the congestion at the top of the leaderboard, which is great for the tournament, because not only is it are there some big names up there, but there's some good scoring going on as well, and should be a pretty dramatic finish.
Yeah, this is always set up for that sort of thing here at TPC Sawgrass. Of course, pin placements and whatnot are set up so we can get something like happened with Ricky Fowler a few years ago, 6 under in his last 6 holes to get into a playoff and eventually win. Finishing the eagle birdie there in regulation to make that happen. The pins are in the exact same spot to entice that again. And you're right, we've got obviously Jim Furyk and John Rahm at the top there at 14 under, but plenty of guys within a few shots of the lead, you know, just waiting to make that run down the back nine.
And the performance of Furyk, I mean, he had a 64 on Friday, which sort of put him in a really good position. But 71's either side of that. Was 64 just one out of the box for Jim, or what happened on Friday?
The thing about Jimmy Boy is he's from here, guys. He lives here and he's probably played more rounds on TPC Sawgrass than anyone else. And, of course, he's not a stranger of going low, holds the record for a 58, also has a 59 on the PGA Tour. Just can get it going sometimes, but now he's got to sort of keep that going today under the fraying nerves of a 49, I think he is, year-old man. You know, he's got a share of the lead. He's got the 6 holes to go where it's risk-reward. Have a crack at it, and he's got a chance to win this thing. And yeah, I think he'd be the oldest since Fred Funk about a million years ago to do it.
Well, we know about the nerves of a 50-year-old there. They're shot. now, tell us, Ben, Jason Day, he started the day within reach, and you said the Aussies have got a bit of work to do. Can you give us an update on the Aussies playing?
Yeah, look, Jace was probably obviously the best chance to have a crack. Only 3 back starting the day. He bogeyed the first hole, which was a real issue for him. He's had trouble there all week. Managed to sort of bounce back and look like he might be able to have a run, but he's just butchered the par 5 ninth in a bogeying that, which is a birdie hole for most guys, and that's put him well back. He's sort of sitting 4 back at the moment and needing to be one of those absolutely special runs home if he's going to have any hope. He's going to need to get after the par 5 11th, he's going to need to get the drivable par 4 12th, and he's going to need to get all those holes in the run home that we spoke of if he's going to post a number that's going to threaten the guys up top.
We were talking earlier, Ben, about Rory McIlroy, and you know he just doesn't get it done often on a Sunday. There's a bit of pressure on him, and I noticed even after yesterday's round, he was the last on the range on Saturday night going into Sunday. This is one he really wants to win.
Yeah, 100%. He was a bit wobbly early, but he literally, just as you spoke, and stipped one on the 10th playing with Jason Day. He's 1 back at the moment, really good chance of birdie there to potentially join the lead. 5 top 6 finishes in every tournament he's played so far this year. Mm. Looking for number 6 to be a win, like you said. Just sensational golf that just hasn't closed the deal. He says it's not an issue. He says it just means he's trending in the right direction. But I have a feeling if this becomes number 7 of those, he could be a little bit frustrated heading into the match play in a couple of weeks' time, and then, of course, Augusta.
And so is he, I mean, are they talking about it? Are they starting to sort of put a little bit of pressure on him, the amount of times that he's not getting it done on the Sunday, or is it something that's just sort of in the background and no one's really talking about it?
Oh, no, they're talking about it. All the columns last week, even though Francesco Molinari won the Arnold Palmer Invitational, the guy getting the most questions was Rory McIlroy for another close finish, but not getting it done. It's definitely a theme here, and every time he misses a shot, there's a bit of a groan or a chuckle or whatever it might be amongst the media, because they see it as potentially that theme continuing. Of course, now if he wins this thing, he will be able to say, "I told you guys so." He was just trending and wanting to get it done on the big stage, and either if he does that here or, of course, in a month's time at Augusta, I don't think anyone will care about the fact that he didn't win those ones leading in. He'll be able to just sort of say, trying to peak at the right time.
Well, putting into context, Harf, he's won 3 of the 4 majors. The Masters is the only one he hasn't won.
Yep.
And we see this as the 5th major. If he was to win this, going into the Masters. It just would be a wonderful storyline. So there's a lot at play for him over the next couple of hours.
Well, he's a popular player. We all know that. He's got a lot of love around the golfing globe. So it would be a big performance, but you're right. He's got to overcome that Sunday barrier at the moment. Benny, the performance of Abraham Ancer, we saw him out here for the Australian Open through the summer, and I fell in love with him. The way he played, the way he carried himself, I thought, this guy's got a fair bit going on. He's sitting a shot at back at the moment. His scope, just outside of this tournament at the minute, but his scope to be a top 10 player in the world, be a regular winner on the tour, how is that from your perspective?
Yeah, look, he was trending before the Australian Open last year on the PGA Tour, right through the summer over here in the US. He had quite a few chances. In fact, Molinari beat him at Tiger's Quicken Loans event just before the Open Championship with what was one of the best final round ball striking appearances you'll ever see by anyone. And that's the only thing that sort of kept Ancer from closing the deal there. He had another chance later in the season in our playoffs, didn't get it done. And of course, you mentioned Sydney. He went there and did get it done. And he's claimed that that is the catalyst that's going to take him to the next level, much like it did with Rory, much like it did with Jordan Spieth when they were in slumps. He thinks it can be what takes him forward. Now, he won that in Sydney with a couple of rounds in pretty dusty weather, which is what we've got right now. He also was probably the best performer at the World Cup on the really terrible day there in Melbourne. So, you know, I was letting people all know yesterday he's a big hope here, and they all sort of giggled off and laughed at me, but there he is. And, you know, if he gets this done, well, we'll definitely see him in Melbourne later in the year as part of the international team. And I think we're going to see him regardless. He's a gutsy little player, and he likes to get in amongst the grind.
I like his work a lot. One man we will see in Australia later in the year is Tiger Woods. And when Tiger's up and about, the galleries come and the noises are great. The energy's terrific on any golf course. And there's a great moment the other day. We were talking about personality in golf just before we got to the break. And there was a great moment the other day when Kevin Na, who chases his putts in, was playing with Tiger, and Tiger got in on the action and showed some real flair and spunk and personality, which got the whole gallery entertained. Would that have happened, A, 5 years ago, or B, if Tiger was within reach of the lead, within two or three shots of the lead, or is it because he's far enough back he can relax and just be himself a bit?
Well, it definitely wouldn't have happened 5 years ago or before that. Tiger would have been so locked in that that wouldn't have happened. But he's aged. He's, you know, gotten a bit older. He's a dad. He likes the odd dad joke now. So he thought that was hilarious. And you're right, he's not really in contention. So he had a bit of fun with it. But he hadn't seen Kevin Na do that before. We've seen Kevin do that a few times. But, of course, Tiger's been away for so long and hasn't played with a lot of guys in quite a few years. But, yeah, look, he's definitely a different Tiger these days. He's warmer. He's more friendly. He sort of loves to give his playing partners a bit of, you know, colour and whatnot. There are multiple times where young guns have played with him last year that he was signing autographs for their families and stuff and caddies at the end of the round, and I think that's great. You know, it just shows that he has softened a bit and he does get it. He gets his place in the game and the wider grand scheme of things.
Ben, just from left field, a wider question for the weekend warrior who saves up for the trip of a lifetime. You can go and play Sawgrass if you've got enough in the pocket. What's it like for the weekend warrior to look at now that you're having a look at it over there? What type of course is it? What does it supply for somebody who saves up their pennies and says, I'm going to the States and I'm going to play half a dozen brilliant golf courses?
You know what, it provides a lot of great memories. If you've watched plenty of players' championships, you can see the shots, you can remember all the great shots that have been played. Of course, you get to stand up on the island green and see just how tough it is to try to hit the green, even though it's only 145 yards or so. You know, you just can have that feeling like the tour players have and feel that amongst it. Now, look, I will say this. It is a very hard golf course for the weekend warrior. Pete Dye did not go easy on anyone. You can hit the ball straight down the middle of the fairway, but it's not quite on the right side. You'll be ball above your feet, ball below your feet. You really have to bring a few, let's just say, bring a couple of boxes of golf balls at a steely disposition, because it can get after you.
That island shot you're talking about, Grant Thomas birdied that.
Did he?
Yeah, he got a bird on that. Yeah.
Bloody hell, isn't it something to have for the sketch?
Going all right, Tomo's playing off 8 at the moment. Yeah.
I'll drop a name. The last time I played it was with one Cam Smith, and let's just say he gave me plenty of stick when I put 3 balls in the water off that tee.
Very good.
It'd be a nice experience. You might do that one day, Derm. Well, who wins from here? Benny, going to put you on the pump.
No, you know, I think John Rahm looks pretty good. He sort of recovered from a dusty start, and I just can't forget a few years ago when it was a really congested leaderboard at Torrey Pines, and we were thinking we were going to get a 3-4-5-man playoff, and then he just went gangbusters and finished with a couple of eagles and a couple of birdies and streaked the field. So I can't sort of shake that in my mind. I think he might get it done.
All right, looking forward to seeing it all unfold. The back nine of Sunday play at Sawgrass for the TPC Players Championship. Look forward to seeing how it goes, mate. Appreciate your time as always. Enjoy the day.
No worries, guys.